Appreciate the opportunity to speak. I told Chuck this morning not to say much. Scared everybody away. But there's a lot of sickness going around, colds, flu. So take that in consideration likewise. I want to do a study tonight upon judging. And I had an outline made. I hope everybody got a copy or received one. So we'll try to follow the outline as much as possible. I may vary from it once in a while, but we'll try to get through this topic as much as possible. There are a few subjects within the Scriptures that seem to be misunderstood more than others, but that of the principle of judging. It's quite common to hear individuals make the statement that it's wrong to judge, and no man has the right to judge another. The irony is such a statement, or at the same time they make this statement, they're judging. And we need to make sure that we as Christians do things in accordance with God's will as much as possible. And we need to do things the way God has set up and do it in a proper way. We have studied within the Old Testament the fact that if they didn't do God's will, they were punished. And we will be punished for the things we say and judge. And we need to be careful we don't make the improper judgment at times. In John, the 7th chapter, verse 24, Jesus says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And from this statement, it is apparent that there is a right way and a wrong way to judge. Jesus condemns judgment according to the appearance, and on the other hand, obligates judgment according to righteousness or a righteous judgment. And we are going to study this evening as much as we need to judge, but at the same time, we got to be careful how we judge. The Christian needs to consider what follows if one is not permitted to practice judgment. Those who said that it's wrong to judge will make of no value some of the Scriptures that are given to us within the Scriptures. First one I want to look at tonight is Philippians, the 1st chapter. And beginning with verse 9 through 11. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, and he said in verse 9, that we need to abound in more and more knowledge and in judgment, that we may approve things that are more excellent. There has to be a judgment. You have to decide what's right and what's wrong. And unless we are able to make that judgment, we can't decide what's right and wrong. We just elected a new man to take office. We went by the knowledge and the information that was given to us about the two men that was running. We pulled judgment for who we wanted in that office as a country. Now, whether or not things work out the way they claim it wants to work out, or they want to do, that remains to be seen. But we passed judgment upon those individuals by our votes. And the fact is, we need to decide that we are to judge in accordance to God's Word. And we need to do things that are excellent, that they are approved by God. We have to be filled with the fruits of righteousness in verse 11, which are by Jesus Christ. They are given to us. We are given the information how to do such. In 1 Thessalonians, if you turn with me to verse or chapter 5, and verse 22. "Abstain from all appearances of evil." Now, how can one abstain from evil unless he is given something to judge by? If I don't know what's good and evil, or what's right and wrong, and as some people have gotten to a degree of within our country, they have to have something to go by. They have to be given information They have to be given something that is a pattern to follow in our judgment. Also in Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Again, we have to pass judgment. We have to decide what God wants us to do. And we got to decide that our love is without dissimulation. Well, how false? It's got to be a true love. Likewise, in 1 John, the 4th chapter, in verse 1, we're told to try the spirits. Again, that's a judgment. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Again, we have to have a pattern that is set forth. We go by God's word. We make our judgment whether or not that man is teaching false doctrine or trying to teach the truth. Now, how can we decide which denomination to go to or which religion to follow after? By comparison to God's word. And we know that if it's a denomination, it's man-made. There's only one church that is established by God Himself, by Christ. And we have that pattern set. We go by that pattern, we make judgment. Where are they false? Where are they true? Where they're trying to do God's will. Romans the 16th chapter, verse 17. Again, these scriptures would be disapproved if we went by some individuals saying, but we cannot judge. The scriptures say us we need to mark them that cause division. It says in verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses according to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. How can I avoid somebody? How can I mark them unless I am given something to go by? And that is according to God's word. Again, we need to take God's word and compare them. Are they trying to stir up strife, trouble, divisions by their teaching? We got to go by what God said. Again, we are passing judgment. We have to. This is in accordance to God's word. We have to make judgment at one time or another. In 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter. And again, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brethren that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he has received of us. Again, we are to apply church discipline. Again, we have to pass judgment on one. And there are other scriptures. 1 Corinthians 5th chapter and verse 11. With such a one, know not to eat. How can a brother be in such sins that is not to be determined other than in judgment of God's word? But yet we have those out there within the body of Christ and say, if we have no right to judge another, you're making all these verses and others that we can point out of none effect. We can't apply these things. You're taking out part of God's word. But one thing we need to understand as Christians, if we need what is to be involved in the manner in practicing a righteous judgment, there is a righteous standard. This is the word of God properly applied. Turn with me to John, the 12th chapter. And verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him at the last day. What are we going to be judged by? Jesus Himself is doing the speaking here within this verse. It states the very fact that if we reject His Word in any way, one thing, we're going to be judged by that Word. We are going to be judged by what Christ has said and taught within this earth. Left for the apostles to teach. And we need to understand that the Word is not going to actually preach itself or apply itself. Someone has to do it. Those who speak behind the pulpit within these congregations, here, Moundsville, Thomason Run, or any other congregation that you can think of throughout this United States, throughout the world, are going to be judged by what they teach, what they believe, what they follow after. And we got to make sure that everything that we do here or anywhere else within the body of Christ is in accordance to God's Word. Because we're going to be judged by it. We're going to be held accountable for what God has said. But there are also improper standards constituting judgment. Turn with me to Matthew, the 15th chapter. I'm using a new Bible, so I'm getting a little tangled up here. So bear with me sometimes. Matthew 15 and verses 1 through 9. Then came Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commandeth, saying, Honor thy father and mother. He that curseth mother or father, let him die to death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father and his mother, is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest, be profited by me, and honors not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy ye, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." It was a group of individuals claimed to be religious, claimed to be following after the Word of God, but they were doing the traditions of men. Those who cursed their father and mother were put to death. These scribes and Pharisees, let's don't go that far. Let them be free. Set them loose. This is our tradition. This is what we say needs to be done. And that is an unrighteous judgment. Why? Because they're following after their own tradition, their think-sos, what they believe to be the truth, and not in accordance with God's Word. Turn with me to Colossians, the 2nd chapter. Let's begin reading verse 14. "Blotting out the handwritings of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphantly over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat and in drink, respect of the holy day, of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are the shadows of things to come, but the body which is of Christ." It were Jews that were trying to get the Gentiles to hold a certain holiday, certain religious fact of the old law. They were trying to get them to be circumcised in accordance to their tradition. But these things were nailed to the cross with Christ. There was a New Testament that was to be taken up. As Paul wrote here to the church of Colossae, that in verse 17, they were a shadow of things to come, but the body which is of Christ. That is what you are to follow after. But they had people, they had individuals, that were trying to pass judgment on the Gentiles, trying to get them to do things in accordance to the old law. And they were wrong. And we have some today that try to do the same thing. They try to follow after the past or the old law. And likewise, we try to have those who try to go by opinion. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, by God's word. I believe the Bible is given to us by God. Not by sight, not what by what I believe or see. I mean, I don't go by what I see. I mean, if I did, then I would have believed that magicians had superpowers because of the things that they can perform or carry out. This Chris Cross, I think his name is, that I hear people talk about. I only see him for about 5 minutes on TV. That can elevate himself, supposedly. There are others that can make a jet disappear. Can they? By sight, they did. But I don't go by what I see. I go by what God tells me. I go by the faith. I go by God's word. And we need to be careful that we don't follow after men's opinions, but that we go by what God said properly, accordingly, as He has set forth. Second, we need to make sure that we have a righteous motive. One may not know another's motive, but one can certainly know his own in judging. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. And verse 11. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. How many of us try to judge the motive of somebody else? I had something happen down here at the mill just all week. I worked with an individual. He came in Sunday night, or Monday afternoon, excuse me, going afternoon. He came in Monday afternoon, staggering around, and every time he stood, you almost had to put your hand behind him to catch him from falling. I had so many people standing there saying, he's high, he's on this, he's on that. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, he has a problem. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. Maybe his sugar was giving him problems. He might have been diabetic. He may have some other problem or medication he had to take that made him that way. I don't know. But people made judgment saying that he was higher than a kite, he was taking sniffing coke back there somewhere in the corner or whatever. I couldn't make that judgment. I didn't see it. But the fact is, I knew there was something wrong, but that's all I knew. As the week went on, he improved a little bit until Friday afternoon, and he started staggering around again. But halfway through the shift, he was fine. Now, I've seen some that have been diabetic act that way. I did see him eat candy bars. I don't know. I didn't ask. Maybe I should have. But I did keep an eye on him to make sure he didn't get hurt. Now, Who is trying to make the righteous judgment? The fact is, sometimes when we pass judgment on somebody, in a brief moment without knowing all information, and we think evil of somebody, most of the time, that's what we would do in that circumstance. Think about it. I've heard men accuse other individuals of doing things, and then you end up finding out they were doing. Last few months, the last couple years, within the administration of Bush, some of the congressmen, some of the senators, that passed laws to condemn those who were going on the internet and trying to get young people on the internet to meet them someplace so that they could be with them. Those ones that were pushing for that law was doing it. You ever think about that? A lot of the time, and that's why I try to keep from passing judgment on anybody as much as possible unless I know all the facts. I do. Once in a while, I do slip. I do pass judgment on somebody by sometimes the way they look, the way they act. But sometimes, when we pass judgment, we ourselves would do that very opportunity or thing if we had the opportunity. And we need to be careful that we don't think that way. A lot of problems when we think wrong of people on a constant basis, that's what we do. We need to be thinking righteous. We need to be thinking of the good things that might be happening, that it could be possible that this is what happened. And we need to make sure that we know all the details before we try to make a judgment on someone. There's always two sides to every act of obedience. The authorized act in the proper spirit and the motive which is to be performed. And then those are those who lack the proper motive. Yeah, there are some that are out trying to take advantage of everyone. I'm not going to deny that. But there are some that are trying to be sincere and think they're doing the right thing. Paul was one of them. Paul thought he was doing God's will until he found out otherwise. He was passing judgment until he found out what was the truth. And then he corrected it, and then he tried to do what was right. I could pass judgment on Paul, saying the fact that I believe honestly, within my own heart, that he put out a better effort, stronger effort, in trying to do God's will. Simple fact that he's trying to make up what he tried to do to God's church up until he became a Christian. I think he tried to make up for the damage he was doing at that point. And he put out a stronger effort trying to teach God's word, make sure everybody heard God's will as it should have been. Third thing we need to look at, deal with the individual, not the individual, for the whole. Common weakness for one is to be mistreated by another of a particular race and judge a race as being evil. How many times have we heard that? How many comments have you heard on TV? Well, the black people are trained for sports. I've heard that statement years ago. It's a child. I heard that statement, 4 or 5 years ago on ESPN. They're trained for that. That's what they're made for. To entertain us for sports. That's wrong. Nathaniel first thought in John 1, verse 46. Can there be anything good out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. In other words, let's see for ourselves who this Christ is. Do we find out what those individuals are like before we pass judgment, or do we just group them all together? Working up at Star Lake, they came to us and said, 9-inch nails coming up. This is a rock group. And he says, it's going to be wild. It's going to be damaging things up there done. They're going to tear the place up. If you're scared, don't come to work. Stay home. Well, I went to work that night up there and waited on some of them. I say about 90% said, thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We appreciate what you do. And walked away. And they had these wild hairdos and outfits on. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I told this was going to happen. It didn't. Matter of fact, they were more courteous to us up there as workers than some of the groups that came up there supposed to have been calm and mild. Steve Miller puts out music that is a little bit more soothing compared to them. But you talk about a rough crowd. They was probably the worst crowd that Star Lake had besides Hank Williams Jr. That you expect from Hank. Steve Miller, I never ever expected that type of crowd that was up there. Don't always judge by groups, because it don't always pan out to be that way. A serving principle, not to abuse. Every scriptural subject can be abused. I've heard a man teach years ago. I wish I could remember how he did it. But he made the moon sound like it was made of green cheese by the scriptures. Done a little twisting, but he taught it and used the scriptures to back himself up in teaching that. If you went directly and know he wasn't twisting the scriptures to do that, you would have believed. I just wonder how many did. But he used the scriptures to prove that the moon was made of green cheese. I didn't think that was ever possible. But there are other things. The Church of Corinth was misusing the Lord's Supper. They were abusing it. They were trying to make a common meal out of it. Sometimes we used to hear sayings. We don't hear statements like this anymore. But tear down the house because the door needs repairing. The Lord's Supper was abuse. Paul didn't make light of the value of the service, but he did deal with the correcting of the abuse that was going on. And you can read about it in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 20 and 31 through 32. We have also known, and it's been shown throughout congregations when I was growing up, of places that had elders, that they were looked down upon at the beginning of their lives, and when they became elders, they did things that was contrary to God's word. They did things by majority rule instead of trying to do things the way God set up. And we need to make sure that we don't do this. That we serve the principle, follow the principle that is set in accordance to God's word, and not abuse it. And then finally, be consistent in our application of our judgment to ourselves. The first person to be judged should be ourselves. Those guilty of judging according to their appearance were inconsistent in their judgment of Christ. Please turn with me to John, the 7th chapter. Let's read verses 22 and 24. Moses, therefore, gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye of the Sabbath day circumcised a man. But man on the Sabbath day received circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are you angry at me? Because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day. There they were. They were condemning Christ. But at the same time, they were being disobedient to God's law and thought it was fine. And sometimes we as Christians, we're individuals, sometimes we like to find out the fault of somebody else and judge them for it. And at the same time, we're doing the very same thing in a different way. Well, I try to, like I said, I make mistakes. I have faults. But before I try to live in somebody else's business, before I try to make judgment upon what they're doing, I usually try to take a look at myself first and try to apply the scriptures to me and try to take care of my problems before I try to hop on somebody else. I may give advice. I may give scriptures the help that they maybe need. But before I make that final judgment against them, I try to take a look at my life and see what I need to do first. And each one of us need to do this. Does these scriptures apply to me more than the one I'm trying to find guilt of? Thou hypocrite. Key phrase within the judgment condemned in Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verses 1 through 5. This is something that Jesus, once in a while, not very often, but he did condemn the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he had to get strong with them at times. Matthew 7, and beginning at verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. What measure ye meet, ye shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? For how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, behold, the beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite! First cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, turn again, and rent you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find it. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What did he say? Judge not, that ye not be not judged. For what with judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. What I say, what I do, what I think about others will be applied to me. And we need to be careful that we make sure that we have all the facts, all the scriptures, and not misapplying them, trying to be a vendetta out against somebody, but we are trying to do it because of our love, concern about their soul. And I need to be concerned that my soul isn't lost by making that judgment, because I'm doing the same thing. We need to be careful. Paul condemned the Jews for being inconsistent in the judgment against the Gentiles. In Romans, the second chapter, again beginning with verse 1, "Therefore, if thou art inexcusable, O man, whatsoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God in accordance to the truth against them which commit such thing. And thinkest thou this, O man, that thou judgest them which do those such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of this goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and penitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." How many times, as an example, have we turned the TV on, we seen advertisements of this last election and other elections before, of a man condemning a man for what he stood for and what he did, and at the same time you knew he was doing the same thing? How many times? But the thing is, he was doing it a different way. Doing exactly the same thing, but another way around, instead of doing exactly the way he did it. How many times? And how many times, if I said before, have we tried to judge people at the same time we're doing it ourselves? We need to be consistent. We must practice judgment that is pleasing in the sight of God, and it must be according to righteousness. We must follow God's word, and it will happen the way God set it forth. We must remember that our judgment will face the judgment of God in the last days. I hope these things have been beneficial in some way. Make you think a little bit on how we look up at others, sometimes how we pass judgment upon others, that we need to be careful that we don't make the same mistakes that we try to accuse others. We need to make sure that we're not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that are recorded in the New Testament. Their soul was condemned unless they repented. Our soul stand condemned if we don't do it the way God set forth. You think about it. You think about the things that are said within God's Word. Try to apply them as He set forth. Not from our opinion, not what we think so. Make sure our motive is because we love somebody and not out as a vendetta. Sometimes we do. We need to be careful. These are things that we need to be concerned about, because it can cost us our soul. We will have to give an answer. Just as the children of Israel.
We talked about Joshua and Exodus and Deuteronomy and others. It costly left off. Condemning others. At the same time, they were doing the very same thing. Make sure we try to do things in God's will. Maybe one here this evening is not a Christian. You must hear His word, believe, repent, confess, be baptized by immersion, live a faithful life to death, and receive heaven as our home. Maybe one here this evening has done those things, fallen away, brought reproach upon themselves, upon the body of Christ. We need to do something. We need to go to God in prayer. Ask for forgiveness of that sin. Your soul, your destiny, you think about those things if we stand to sing the song, Invitation.